We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I'm more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
It's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
The people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Prince of Piss and People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday. What's happening? How are we feeling? What are we, 14, 15 days until election day? Well,
yes, but don't forget, in a lot of states, you can vote early.
Yeah, elections are happening now. Actually, you know, when you think about it, the last day to vote is November 3rd.
They said over 20 million people have voted already.
Yeah, I saw that number. I think it's like almost 28 million now. But that's a lot of people. I don't know what that's a sign of. I don't know. I would assume it's leaning towards the Democrats. I don't know. I would assume.
Well, yeah, I think more Democrats have voted early than Republicans so far, people who are registered as Democrats. I was going to vote on November 3rd, but now I think I am going to vote early. Because I like to go out on that actual day. It feels like a holiday to me. I make it a big deal. But now I'm thinking maybe I should do it early.
What changed your mind?
I've seen like some of the long lines. I just don't want anything to go wrong at the last minute and have an issue. What if I, you know, come down with the cold on November 3rd? Since I can't vote early, I might as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if, you know...
What was that gasp for?
Because you said a cold. You know, you think cold, you think COVID. Any type of sickness around this at this point is going to be listed as COVID. But I wonder if Donald Trump, his rhetoric has backfired on him, you know, like encouraging people to go to the polls and, as he says, monitor, you know, voters. But, you know, really, we know that's a form of voter intimidation and, you know, telling people to be willing to fight for Trump at the polls. And what if that's backfired on him and made so many people decide to vote early because they want to avoid that BS?
Right. And then there's one more debate, right, that's happening.
Let's go, baby.
Good morning, guys.
Envy just took his beard off.
Hey, good morning.
I took my mask off. I don't know what
that was wild. I was like, whoa. Remember that old movie, I'm Gonna Get You Sucking, when she just started taking off everything? Envy took his beard off
now.
No,
I didn't. I took my mask off.
And slammed it on the table. He was mad at it.
I did not. Good morning, Yee.
Hey, good morning,
you
DJ
snort,
Envy.
Man.
Yes, he did.
As you get older, you can't see. You start snorting more. What's wrong with you?
I can't wait. Okay.
For more snorting?
For just getting older, period. It's a blessing.
Yeah, let me shout out to Poppy that works at the parking lot. So
ooh, is he cute? You said that like you was just checking.
Are you asking for a friend?
Poppy's like 70 years old. So
that's not the way you said
it. Sugar daddy.
So yeah. Shout out to Poppy. That
you know what? I can't tell
lot.
You. You know, if you park your car a lot, remember to take not take your keys. So yesterday when I went yesterday when I went to leave, it must have been like a Tesla convention around here. So it was like six Teslas, and they all, like four of them, took their keys, so the car wouldn't move. And in New York parking lots, it's one way in, one way out. So we had to move all four cars, and I had to help Poppy. Poppy's like 70. If Poppy would have did it on his own, he'd have died.
Just Poppy
drive.
You
were pushing the cars?
Yes, we had to push the car yesterday. Yesterday when I left the station, I didn't leave New York City until 3 hours because we had to move all the cars so I can get my car out.
And so you and Poppy was pushing for 3 hours. Drop on the clue.
You should have rode your bike to work.
Oh, Poppy would have loved. If you rode your bike to work.
You know what?
Those little cute little biker shorts.
I don't like you. And you know what? Yesterday I got the kids some Halloween costumes. I got a costume for you.
What you got?
We should dress each other. What do you think about this, John?
Does Poppy drive stick? What is that?
You know what it is.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a penis.
Why are you dressing your kids up as
no,
penis?
No, listen, you as a kid. I got a gift for
that's
you.
That's not what you said. Your said segue we, said, you
I said,
said.
I said, I got a costume
no,
for you.
That's not what he said. All I heard was I took the kids Halloween shopping
and
yesterday.
And I said, I got a costume for you.
No, I didn't hear that part. You heard that part, Drum?
I don't know what the hell's going on right
and
now.
And Drum, he gonna act like he don't know what this is.
Emmy just showed me a picture of a penis. I don't know what is going on right now.
You guys, it's Tuesday.
It's freaking Tuesday. All right, let's get the show cracking. Now, Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn will be joining us this morning.
That's right. They are the host of the Cut to It podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network. Y'all know Steve Smith, former Carolina Panther, Baltimore Raven, one of the best trash talkers ever in the history of the NFL.
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll be talking to him. All right, and we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, well, Donald Trump is now calling Dr. Fauci an idiot and calling Joe Biden a criminal. We'll tell you what he had to say yesterday.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee? Oh, whoa. Let me get to the scores.
Whoa.
Kansas City Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills last night. Now, I didn't watch the Cowboys game. How did the Cowboys do yesterday, Charlamagne?
I didn't watch it. I don't think that, you know, people should be watching football just because, like, you know, COVID is running through the league, and it's a shame that they just got those brothers out there playing with no protection. You know, I just think it's despicable.
I'll help you. They lost last night. The Cardinals beat the Cowboys 38-10. They got washed last night. Now, Major League Baseball, game one of the World Series is tonight at 8 p.m., Dodgers versus the Rays. Now,
I don't know why you take so much pride in saying the Cowboys score as if your Giants are any better.
We're not talking about it.
The NFC East isn't even the NFC least this year. The NFC East don't even exist.
My Giants won this week. How did your team do?
By the way, if they want to, you know, cut some games from the NFL schedule.
You know what I mean?
If they want to cut some games from the NFL schedule and they want to find a way to get the season over quicker, just get rid of all the NFC East games.
Yeah.
All of them.
Pretty much. Now, what are we talking about, Yee?
Now we are going to talk about Donald Trump. Now, he is saying that Dr. Anthony Fauci is an idiot, and that's because Dr. Fauci did an interview on 60 Minutes where he said that basically he was asked about whether his media appearances have been limited because of the Trump's office, and he said yes, they're not wanting him to do any interviews. Well, here's what Donald Trump had to say about that.
People are tired of COVID. I have the biggest rallies I've ever had, and we have COVID. People are tired of hearing Fauci and all these idiots. He's been here for 500 years. He's a disaster. I mean, this guy's, if I listened to him, we'd have 500,000 deaths.
Every time he goes on television, there's always a bomb, but there's a bigger bomb if you fire him.
Now, I don't think Dr. Fauci is an idiot. He's definitely not an idiot.
No.
But some of that early no mask wearing, Fauci has to take some of that blame. Because Fauci definitely...
I think he does, though. He said it was a mistake.
Oh,
he
okay.
said they just didn't know enough. He definitely said that things have changed as they found out more. And part of what his job is admitting when you're wrong about something and correcting that immediately.
Because he definitely, when everybody was putting on masks and saying you should wear a mask, he was definitely saying wearing a mask wasn't required unless you were like an essential worker, like a nurse or something like that.
Let me ask you a question. I seen something floating around yesterday. It was about Biden's tax plan. Is that true?
They were saying yes.
In California, New Jersey, New York, if you make over $400,000 a year, you can get taxed 62%. Is that true?
Yes, they said that tax could be as much as 62% for New Yorkers, for people in California. New Jersey is pretty close to that, too. Now, what they are saying, though, is that this rate doesn't include deductions, credits, offsets, loopholes, and lower tax rate on other sources of income as well. And they said very few taxpayers now pay the full statutory rate. So if your tax rate is 62% after all of your write-offs and whatever else you do, deductions, then it will still be a lot lower. Most people don't pay their full taxes. And they said that they could also pass legislation that would remove the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions. So that means that your statutory rate could be even lower.
So what you about to do, Envy? You about to join 50 and vote for Trump because of the tax rate?
I'm just asking a question. They're going to tax 62%. How do they expect minorities to create generational wealth if you tax them 62% the first time they start making money?
Well, I mean, that's for everybody making over $400,000.
Because Amazon don't give tax. A lot of people hopefully will start making some real good money, and it'll be the first time in their family that they start making money, and to tax them 62% when these big companies don't get taxed at all.
Is you voting for Trump or not?
Yeah,
but
there's a difference between statutory tax rate and your effective rate. Statutory is what your tax rate is, but then what you actually pay is effective. That's with all, you know, that's why you have an accountant. And if you're making more than $400,000 a year, I would assume you have an accountant that would tell you what write-offs you should be doing. So nobody ever pays that full rate.
I think black people should have to pay taxes for 400 years.
I'm with you.
That's what I think.
I'm with you. I agree.
However long we was in slavery and segregation, we should be tax exempt.
I'm with you. That's 62%, okay. Boy. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Again, 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? It's RJ from ATL.
RJ from ATL. What's up, man?
Peace up, A-Town down.
Get it off your chest.
I want to apologize. Good morning, Miss Yee.
Good morning.
I just want to give you guys love, man. Y'all keep doing your thing every morning. Envy, what's going on, man?
Peace, King.
Been real kinky the past few weeks.
Who been kinky?
Oh, y'all two been real kinky the past 2 weeks.
Listen.
That's Envy and Charlamagne, just to be clear.
Envy walked in here and said, shout out to Poppy who worked at the parking lot. He helped me push. Mm-hmm. Whatever
yeah,
that means.
Y'all wilded this morning, but keep it up. Love you guys.
Yes, sir. Right,
wait, so I'm confused. He said, y'all wildin', but then he said, keep it up. So he wants y'all to keep wildin'.
America lives with his kinkiness.
Just to be clear.
Y'all, what's going on?
What up? Get it off your chest.
All right. Hey, first, Envy, man, you didn't answer Charlamagne's question, man. Are you voting for Trump?
Word
up. You sound kind of safe.
Don't worry about who I'm voting for. Now, I voted already, man. I voted a couple of weeks ago. A week ago.
All right.
I did the mail-in ballot. I voted already. Me, my daughter, and my wife, we voted about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And I voted for Kamala Harris, if you're asking.
Yes, sir, King. Talk to me.
Bet. Hey, look, I got an up-and-coming podcast on YouTube, and I wanted to see if you can give me some tips on, like, what to aim for to make a podcast really good.
I'm going to check it out and listen to it, but the main tip I always give podcast hosts is just to be yourself, because you have a unique story that nobody else has lived. You got experiences that nobody else has lived, and when you tap into that, then you're offering people something different. So, you know, I truly, truly just be yourself on those podcasts. Tell your story.
Okay, babe. All right, it's In Your Face podcast on YouTube. Check me out, man.
I will.
All right, brother.
Yep.
Hello, who's this?
What's happening, Breakfast Club?
What's happening?
What's happening?
Who this?
All right.
Who this?
Yo, this French, yo.
French, what up?
French, what's up, kid?
Hey, check this out. DJ Envy.
Yes.
Got a proposition for you, my dog.
I'm married.
I'm a black man, veteran. Whoa, slow down, player. Slow down. Nah, man, I just opened up I'm building a skating ring right now, man, out here in North Dakota. I want to see if you come on out, spin, or maybe had a Breakfast Club come on out, broadcast live. You know what I'm saying?
You can't afford me, sir.
Hey, just letting you know. Hey, Charlamagne, look, I don't want you anyway. I want Angela Yee and DJ Envy. So go
much,
ahead.
Much,
the
much
house,
cheaper
man.
Rate for both of them.
you tell us when it opens up, man. And maybe after this coronavirus, yeah. COVID,
but
you know,
I love
calms
to support Black.
Bit. But I like
I love to support black-owned business. I love to support black-owned businesses. So
yeah, but supporting black-owned business don't mean discount or free.
Sometimes it does.
No, it don't.
Next year, yeah.
We got to get out that mentality.
Be done. Y'all be good to go. I hook y'all up. We take good care of y'all here in the Dakotas, baby.
Yes, sir.
Well, have a good one.
I heard y'all ain't got a lot of corona out there, neither.
Nah, we don't, man. We keep that social distance thing. You know, we don't do like y'all up in the NYC. Y'all,
North Dakota and South Dakota as one.
Now, how you gonna ask?
Distance, by the way,
how you gonna ask for a favor and then insult us?
No, I'm insulting the state, not y'all.
That is true. Thank you, sir. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
Oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, wake up, wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, this is Richard.
Richard, what's up? Get it off your chest.
The gentleman was saying that he was upset about Biden suggesting that people making $400,000 or more pay 62%.
That was DJ Envy, sir.
That was me, sir.
Okay. Well, at one time, rich people did pay their fair share. At one time, a millionaire, anybody who made over $1 million had to pay 94% in taxes.
Hell so no.
Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying hell no. I'm not.
Yeah, well, That's why you got Bush. I mean, not Bush. That's why you got a knucklehead like Trump making a bunch of money and don't know nothing.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, Trump was able to take advantage of the tax laws that Obama and Biden implemented, though.
Taking care, especially in the construction development industry. When you're in the mortgage rate, developers don't use their money to do anything. So they use your money, they use government money, they use everybody else's money. That's how they don't lose nothing. Trump pays $750 in taxes. Why should a man who's making near $1 million pay just $750?
Well, like I said, he was taking advantage of the Obama
tax.
To be clear, Trump also didn't pay taxes for 10 out of 15 years before 2016. So it's not just those tax breaks.
He definitely took advantage of the Obama tax breaks.
But there was more before that. It was 10 out of 15 years that he didn't pay any taxes at all.
And 8 of those years was President Barack Obama. That's just a fact, though.
Well, thank you.
Like, if you look at the years that he didn't pay $750, he paid $750, that he was able to take advantage of Obama's tax laws. That's just a fact.
Hello, who's this?
Hi.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest.
So, I don't have nothing to get off my chest. I'm just here promoting my new song that I released on the 9th of October.
Okay, what's it called?
Let's hear something if you're a singer.
It's called Touch.
Touch?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear something.
Whenever me hear your voice is a turn on, when I like to hear with a shirt on,
let's go!
And that's the skirt one. Of me are the 10 toes back. I want you all the time.
Wine.
Baby, missing every touch.
You know what, Mama, you know what?
What's your name?
Sai.
Sai.
My artist name is Sai.
Okay, well, you know, every year Angela Yee does Angela Yee Day, and she has a bunch of Caribbean artists. I think you would be perfect for that. Yee, you want to get her number?
Yeah, Envy, get it, and then Envy will DJ for you.
I think you were phenomenal, Sai. I think you should sing like that everywhere you go, especially where there's large crowds. Just start singing on the train, on the bus, in stores. Just go. You bring joy.
Thank you, Charlamagne.
Yes, Sai.
Sai, you ever see a man's nose grow? That's what's happening with Charlamagne right now.
My nose is not good.
Where are you from?
Sai,
where are you from?
I'm from Jamaica, but I live in Bronx, New York.
Duh.
Quite duh. Thank you so much, Mama.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Scaff Beezy.
You're set up, man.
Her and Scaff Beezy got a collab.
Your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, I'm going to tell you about this mogul who sold 100% of his publishing and writing catalog. That's 162 songs.
I heard. All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we want to pay your bills. Win $1,000 towards your expenses. Thanks to our partner, The General. Get a lot for a little at The General Insurance. For coverage you deserve at prices you can afford. Visit TheGeneral.com today. Go to TheBreakfastClubOnline.com to enter and get rules.
Save some time. I can't remember what it is. I always see the commercial. Save some time. Go to The General. Save some time. You never heard that?
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Ice Cube.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, D.L. Hughley has been very critical of Ice Cube meeting with Donald Trump's campaign about his plan to help Black Americans. And here's what he had to say about Ice Cube.
Ice Cube is the latest one. The platinum plan. When I heard it, it was insulting from the gate. Why didn't they have the spinning rims plan? We have a third wave of COVID coming right now, and he's meeting with the dude that gave us three Fridays. You can always tell the seriousness and import of the meeting based on who was in there. Yes, people are right when they say we have a lot of problems. We need a seat at the table, but we need the right people at the table. We need people from education, from finance, from medical, from prison reforms. Sociology, people who have done this for a living and not made a couple of banging albums.
Salute to the good brother D.L. Hughley. I love hearing his opinion on things, but we got to be accurate. Cube never met with Trump. Cube said his people met with the Trump administration. You know, who are those people? I don't know. And it's also important to note Cube absolutely put together that plan for Black America with those scholars and those finance people and people from education and people who fight for prison reform. It's not like Cube came up with this plan on his own.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you what Cube said from his Twitter account, right? Because he did respond, because after that, DL also posted an article, retweeted an article from Medium that was criticizing Ice Cube. And he also retweeted an article from Politico that was called The Inside Story of How Ice Cube Joined Forces with Donald Trump. Ice Cube first put up the middle finger. Then he said, I hope all these people with podcasts and radio shows telling the world I'm too unqualified and uneducated to talk about a document I created don't get asked to pull out their communications degrees and show you they are qualified and educated enough to speak to you over the airwaves. Then he said, guess I wasn't qualified when I helped ADOS get Governor Gavin Newsom to sign AB 3121 into law. He said, I've been consulting with Dr. Anderson since I've been working on the contract with Black America. Mm-hmm. I have a nice relationship with him. He's been advising. And then he said, thanks for all the true understanding and support. It's good to see so many people dedicated to the truth.
Dr. Claude Anderson is a great advisor. We had him on last week. Listen, though, just hypothetically, what happens, right? Mm-hmm. God forbid if Donald Trump wins on November 3rd. I just think it's strange that people have a plan for what happens if Biden Harris wins. But what happens if Trump wins? Like people only want folks to engage in politics and government when the party they support is in power. So we're not supposed to engage with administrations, federal and local, if they are, you know, not the party.
No, I think we're supposed to engage. I think that's what we're supposed to do.
I would think.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't think
well.
Black people can afford to sit on the sidelines, regardless of who's in the White House or who's your governor, mayor, whatever it is. We need to be pushing that line and holding them accountable. And someone has to engage with them. We just need a mean inside-outside game when it comes to how we engage with government. That's what I think.
But, well, we all need to make sure that we vote. And let's just make sure right now we also keep pushing that messaging as well. Because there's a lot of people I've heard saying that, oh, I'm not voting. I don't like either one of them. But no, you have to go ahead and exercise your right to vote.
You have to vote. And whoever gets in, you have to hold them accountable. You have to engage with them. You have to push their line. I don't care what party it is.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Missy. We got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Yes, and since we're talking about voting, let's talk about the next debates that are going to happen. There are some rules in place now.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, Monday Night Football.
Shut up.
The Chiefs beat the Bills 26-17.
Shut up.
The Cowboys played last night. Did you see it?
Nah, I'm with Cap.
Who won?
Huh?
Who won?
What you mean?
All right, y'all got washed. The Cardinals washed the Cowboys 38-10. Did you hear me? Let me say it louder for the people in the back. The Cardinals wash.
I don't understand why you take so much joy in this as if you're not a New York Giants fan.
We won this week.
As if the NFC East doesn't suck.
We go week by week. We won this week.
They need to take off all NFC East games from the schedule. Don't waste any of the team's time that has to play any of these teams from the NFC East. Let's just get to it. We got to shorten the season probably anyway. Let's get rid of all the NFC East games.
Well, game one of the World Series is tonight at 8, the Dodgers versus the Rays. Now, what else are we talking about, Yee?
All right. Well, Donald Trump is saying that Joe Biden is a criminal and he was having a rally in Nevada. They were chanting, lock him up. And he also says that Joe Biden's family is a family of criminals. And he even called a reporter a criminal. Listen to this.
To call Biden a criminal. Why is that?
He is a criminal. He's a criminal. He got caught. Read his laptop. And you know who's a criminal? You're a criminal for not reporting it.
I'm telling y'all right now. Drum, hand me that tissue. I'm telling y'all right now, if Donald Trump wins re-election, he is absolutely getting his political opponents locked up. That's what fascism is. That's what fascists do. Biden, Clinton, and the big fish, President Barack Obama, are going to jail if Donald Trump gets re-election. I'm telling you right now, that's textbook fascism, saying you want to lock your political opponents up, and he's been saying that for a long time.
Well, the story is, only the New York Post reported this story, that Hunter Biden allegedly left his laptop at a repair shop in Delaware, and the shop's legally blind owner found incriminating photos and emails, which suggested that his son leveraged his political power. He leveraged his political power to enrich his son. So that's what this story is. Even Fox News passed on this story. Only the New York Post picked it up. And, you know, it's interesting because I did a podcast interview with Jalen Rose, which he has a column in the New York Post, and I couldn't put it on Twitter because they won't let you post anything that's a link to the New York Post on Twitter.
Really?
So I was trying to... Yeah, that was. I kept trying to post it, and it just wouldn't let me. So wow. I had to post it from somewhere else.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's still the case, but that's because of, you know, not wanting to post false information.
I just want really everybody to pay attention. Like last week, Donald Trump was tweeting out, where are all of the arrests, and demanding that William Barr lock up people like President Obama. Said Obama should have been in jail 2 years ago. Do not think for one second if he's reelected, he is not going to lock up his political
opponents. Well, the problem is, they already did these investigations and found that there was nothing wrong. So
he's a fascist. He don't need a reason. Y'all gonna see what ultimate power looks like. You want to see what Thanos look like with them Infinity Stones? Let Trump get reelected. When you already got the
DOJ, he would have did it now if he could.
No, when you got the DOJ and all the courts on your side, just watch. He's been saying it long enough. You'll see.
All right, now the debate commission has announced the topics for the final debate that's going to happen. And there's 6 topics for the second and final debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden that's going to be taking place next week. The topics are fighting COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. You know, Donald Trump is not happy about these topics, and He wants to talk more about foreign policy, but that debate will take place on October 22nd. It starts at 9 p.m. It ends at 10:30 p.m. And now they're going to mute the candidates during opponents' initial responses. So that's going to prevent interruptions. So it's not during the full response, but you know they're supposed to have 2 minutes to be able to speak. So during that 2 minutes, when you get asked a question and you're initially responding, the other person's microphone will be muted.
You know we don't need this debate, right? Like, this is really just for entertainment purposes.
Absolutely.
We don't need this. We know this isn't going to end well. Like, no. It's not going to be civil. What's the point? We don't need this. This is strictly for entertainment purposes.
I'm here for it.
Of course you are, because we love a good train wreck in America.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now here was some more confusion. Donald Trump talked about this hypothetical situation, and it was so confusing that the CEO of ExxonMobil had to respond. So here is what he said.
I would be the greatest fundraiser in history. So I call some guy, the head of Exxon. I don't know, but, you know, I'll use a couple. Hi, how you doing? How's energy coming? When are you doing the exploration? Oh, you need a couple of permits, huh? Okay. But I call the head of Exxon. I say, you know, I'd love to send me $25 million for the campaign. Absolutely, sir. Why didn't you ask? Would you like some more? And if I make the call, now people make the call, it's different, you know. But if I made the call, I will hit a home run every single call. I would raise $1 billion in one day if I wanted to. I don't want to do that.
Yo, ain't that illegal? Hey,
it is illegal.
You need these permits? Hey, you want the permits?
Little pay-for-play activity. Now, ExxonMobil, their Twitter account tweeted out, "We are aware of the president's statement regarding a hypothetical call with our CEO, and just so we're all clear, it never happened."
Yo, Trump is crazy.
Man, I don't know why y'all acting surprised that he would be willing to do something illegal.
This guy said, "Hey, you need a permit? Hey, I need $25 million." What?
Okay, bet. What else you need?
Y'all need more?
I wouldn't have known that wasn't a real story if y'all hadn't told me. I thought he was telling a real story.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
No. Well, that is your front page news.
He is. Wow. All right. Well, thank you for that, Yee. Now, when we come back, we have former NFL player Steve Smith Sr. joining us and Gerard Littlejohn.
Yes, they have a podcast called the Cut to It Podcast, which is on the Black Effect iHeartRadio Podcast Network, one of the top 200 sports podcasts in the country right now.
Right.
Okay, and they'll be joining us next.
So we'll talk to them, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Back. You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us this morning.
Yes, sir.
From the Cut to It Podcast, we have Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn. Welcome, fellas.
Good morning.
We hear
audio.
That's right. And Steve Smith Sr. is one of the best wide receivers ever in the history of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth leading receiver in NFL history. One of the best talkers in NFL history. So mm-hmm. a podcast was a natural transition for him.
I think so, a little bit. But I really didn't like podcasts. And then when the pandemic hit, started listening to some. And so I thought I'd get into the game a little bit. So. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity with Black Effect.
Nah, I appreciate y'all partnering with the Black Effect, man. Why didn't you like podcasts to begin with, though?
G's gonna laugh at me, but I'm setting my ways, and so it's like if I don't like grapes, I don't even have to taste them. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't want any, right? Mm-hmm. And so I never really listened to podcasts. I thought, you know, just hearing a few. It was just a whole bunch of people just talking and running their mouth. And then I started listening to a few podcasts when the pandemic hit. And then I was like, you know what? I want to do one. And G had been working on me and my team been working on me for about 2 years to do one. And I was like, no, I'm good. And then I started doing it, started listening to it. And then I said, you know what? Let's do one, but let's do it our way, which is giving athletes an opportunity to speak their truth, talk about what they feel like talking about, and not and creating their own narrative.
And now Cut to It is one of the top 200 podcasts in the sports category. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, not too bad.
What podcast was you listening to that got you into it? What was the podcast?
Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was the episode with him and Mike Epps. And he was just mm-hmm. talking about when they were incarcerated in Indiana and just all the different things. And I grew up a boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part of Mike Tyson that no one ever heard. And so I was just like, you know, there's a lot of athletes, including myself. People don't want to really know about you.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to hear, how are you feeling when you made that catch? And I call it low-hanging fruit, the easy questions. Oh, what is it like catching a touchdown pass? But I also know there's some players that have played in the league who have had some unbelievable games. However, their life outside of football is in disarray. Right. They've, you know, mother-in-law may have cancer, and how those guys are able to zone that out and have some of their best games of their career, man. I just think giving up our platform gives them an opportunity to really tell their story to the realest and rawest form.
Well, why did you decide to host the podcast with Gerard instead of another athlete?
Well, because one, Gerard did play sports. Mm-hmm. He didn't play in the NFL, but also that's my dude, and we know each other. He's my little brother, and we talk and we share. Our families are pretty close, and so it was good to get with somebody that understood you. He wouldn't ask that. You know, let's be honest. When you're doing a podcast with someone, there's always going to be someone or somebody out of the group that does some dumb stuff or mm-hmm. asks a dumb question. And with him, sometimes he'll tell me, hey, bro, that was stupid. And then I'll tell him, and we cool with telling each other, man, that was a dumbass question. And he's not all in his feelings. So that's what I love about him.
It's just a rapport, right? And to Smitty's point, I've been pushing him for 2 years, largely because you see him on NFL Network, you see him as an analyst, and he has this rapport. Not just with current players because they look up to him, but with the OGs like the Deion, like the LaDainian Thomasons, like the Michael Vicks, where we're right in this great spot to where we can get this authenticity from a lot of these athletes because of the format and the way that we come about doing this podcast.
What do you guys think about the football season this year? You think they should scrap it and cancel it?
No, I mean, listen, I think really everything that's going on, I've answered this question a few times and a lot of people kind of look at me sideways. So I say it like this. When the pandemic hit, they gave players the opportunity to opt out. And people have asked me, what do you think or would you do it? It really depends on what year you're in, what your contract is, and what your bank account looking like. Mm-hmm. If your bank account of you, just like any other company, if you live in paycheck to paycheck, you can't afford it. You got to roll that dice. If you can, you're going to look at it differently, but not everybody has that opportunity. So, and then at the same time, man, sitting at home, I don't necessarily think sitting at home and sterilizing everything is good for our system anyway. We need to get out a little bit, be smart, be safe. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, man, this is a hygiene problem. And some of y'all need to wash your hands. This is well beyond, it's well beyond football, man.
Committee with the hygiene tip.
Recently, man, you know, you decided to put out a special episode to Cut to It, and you spoke about your release from the Panthers. I mean, why was the podcast the perfect place to finally make you express all of that?
That's a good question. One of it is because I know I'm part of the media, but man, I think some of the media guys that write, they're lazy, and they represent like a beat writer for a team. He's in the middle. He's supposed to represent the connection between the players, and then he writes the article, and then the fans think that beat writer has a real connection or a relationship with the player. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes they are talking by talking to a whole bunch of other people. They talk like they're the fly on the wall. And some of them dudes have never even had conversations with players, never had conversations with teams. But when they write that article, the fan goes, oh, he must know something. So a lot of information that I dropped on the podcast, no one ever knew because there wasn't a lot of flies in the room. It was only a few people. And so I was like, and I held it in. I didn't say anything. So I was like, you know what? We're going to do it my way. And we're going to basically tell the whole truth of what happened. So there's this side, that side, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth. But we've only heard one side. Well, this is why everybody keeps saying that, you know, that I was jealous of Cam. Man, it's funny. It's like, I can't be jealous or mad at someone who already has a bigger platform than me, right? I was only looking at football as I was at the end of my career. I had a destination. I had an opportunity that I wanted to get. And Carolina as an organization at that time of my career was not giving me that. So I decided to, you know, do what I needed to do.
Did you hear from anybody from the Panthers after that, Steve? Did Cam reach out?
Nah, I mean, we don't really talk like that. He in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. I try not to bother guys, man. They got a lot going on, and then they isolating, and then they on Zoom calls. Even in the media, man, I've been on so many Zoom calls, I'm tired of Zoom. Right?
Tell me about it.
We all are.
And then the other thing is, I have a relationship with a lot of teams, with a lot of coaches, GMs, and players. So I get a lot of calls from a lot of guys. I mean, I talk to the Panthers because of my job a lot of different times. So it's not like all of a sudden people are reaching out like, oh, man, that was great. It was just like, man, that was just me.
All right, we got more with Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Trap House DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with former NFL player Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn.
You know what? As a player, you said something earlier about, you know, sometimes people don't realize there's things going on in people's lives, and they still got to go out there and play. Like, you don't think about it. You just want your favorite player to bust ass or to win. But, damn, you don't know if his mom just had cancer or somebody just passed away or whatever it may be. So, being a player, how do you deal with it? Is it praying? Is it yoga? Is it, like, how do you deal with everything that's going on outside of football? Or is football a therapy for you?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I don't think at times football is a therapy. Other times, man, football is just a great opportunity where you go out there, you're having a rough day. And it's a run play. You got a corner in front of you, man. That's tough for that corner, right? And then there's other times where you just kind of block it out. You compartmentalize. And I'm be honest, it wasn't easy at times. There are times. That's why one of the reasons I retired is the guy that played football all those years. There were times, man, I was not happy with myself. I struggled with being able to shut that off. And there were times where, you know, especially building up to Sundays, man, by Friday afternoon, my wife would be like, man, go somewhere. Because you just start to turn that switch on and get into football mode. And football mode is not, hey, how you doing? And football mode is somebody say, hey, how you doing on Saturday night? I give them a blank stare like, I'm good.
That's why I don't understand why they don't have, or maybe they do. Football players need to have more access to psychiatrists and therapists.
Teams are starting to do that now. It's starting to
trend that way for sure.
Yeah, they have to. And then also too, man, that the perfectionists trying to always be perfect and trying to be in performance based. Man, waking up, performing every single day, and then having social media. And those people commenting, like, I used to hate that the fantasy football where a dude would be like, oh, man, you suck because you didn't make me 20 points in fantasy. Like, I didn't throw it to myself.
Yeah, I wonder how many careers have been cut short, not because of physical health, because of mental health in the NFL.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot of guys, man. It's a lot of guys. You know, fans think money changes everything. It does, but if you have a lot of money and if you're a selfish person, man, you're just a selfish person with a whole bunch of money. Money makes you more of who you already are.
And that's been a thing that we've seen as we talk to these guys, that mental health continues to come up. We talked about it with Malcolm Jenkins. Mm-hmm. There's other episodes we got coming up, Torrey Smith, where you're going to see that it's going to be a thing just because I think it's top of mind right now, whether it's the pandemic or just as guys are progressing through their careers, but it's been a consistent theme and something that we speak freely about, and especially between Steve and myself. Like, we always just try to check in. I check in on him to see, man, how you doing? As simple as that, just to check in, you know, on his mental health, on anyone's.
Yeah, I've been going to therapy every week for the past about 3-4 years now, and it's one of the best decisions I ever made.
Well, why did it take you so long?
Just thinking nothing was wrong, thinking, like, you know, Like when I first got diagnosed with anxiety, the first time I ever had a clinically diagnosed panic attack was 10 years ago. I always had those feelings before, but the doctor actually told me, oh, you had a panic attack. But at the time, I was back home living with my mom in South Carolina. I was like 31 years old, and I had been fired for 4 times from radio. So when the doctor was like, yo, are you stressed about something? I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So in my mind, all I had to do was get some money and get back in position and everything would be good. And then professionally, I had the best 10 years of my life, which has been The Breakfast Club and everything else. And still having that anxiety, still having that PTSD, still having them bouts with depression. So that's what made me start going.
it's important to normalize that.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask, you know, being a dad, right? When you have kids and, you know, your kids want to play sports, your kids want to play football.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dads out there that go back and forth and say, I love watching football. I enjoy watching professionals, but
yeah.
Do I want my kid to get hit? You know what I mean? Do I want my kid to get a concussion? You know, and how do you feel about your kids playing sports? And also, are you that crazy dad on the field? Like, you know what I mean? That dad that's going crazy because you've been in there, or do you sit back and be like, you know what? I'm going to see if my son is good or not first.
Well, I mean, that's a great question. So I got three boys and one girl.
Right.
And my oldest son, he played football for a little bit, but he didn't like the competition of being Steve Smith's son. So he ended up getting a scholarship, playing at DePaul, playing soccer. Then he just graduated, transferred to Wofford because he blew out his knee down in South Carolina. He just graduated. He's working as a business accountant. So, but he's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Then my 15-year-old son, he played football and was fire,
mm-hmm.
right? Played wide receiver, but he actually ended up turning into a pretty good corner. But he didn't really, he was a finesse corner. He'll pick the ball, he'll cover. Hitting, he didn't really want nothing about that hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But through the whole process, I would tell him, you hit what you can see. If you can't see, don't hit, don't shoot your gun. And so he understood that. And but yet, you know, I was obviously his dad. So we did a lot of little things. Like I got football pads and we trained in the summer. He was crying and sweating, all that stuff. But as far as going to games, I'm the dad, like on, it's like Sunday for me. I'm not talking to you and you don't talk to me. Don't bother me. I actually, sometimes I'll sit on the field with headphones and I'll sit off in the distance. I don't even sit with my wife. I don't even, just don't bug me. Don't talk to me. I'm not going to say anything to you. So don't bother me, you know, as far as parents. Now, when I was younger and my son was playing soccer, I was a little mouthy, but, you know, that's why I kind of started sitting to the side and just kind of.
Oh, you got in trouble. Your wife put you on punishment.
Slightly. Yeah.
You got a whooping.
Now, Steve, how did working at Taco Bell save your life?
Well, so here's a story. What happened? So I used to work at Taco Bell, and on Saturdays we had a game on Saturday mornings, but on Fridays. In college and community college, there was no classes, you know, or the 4-hour classes. I ain't taking a 4-hour class, right? So I used to work on Fridays. Well, me and a dude got into it and we was fighting. And so we fought on the field and then we went in the locker room and then he got a second helping. And so from there, it didn't go the way he liked. And so on Friday, he came in. He had his pistol in his jacket. He was waiting in the locker area right where my locker was, but he didn't know I didn't come in on Fridays. So he ended up getting removed from the squad because basically he brought a gun on campus and basically was going to try to shoot me.
Damn.
And so it just didn't work out. But luckily, if I wasn't working on Fridays, I'm not really sure how it turned out. You know, if I'd have walked in that locker area when he had that gun, because he wasn't coming to, you know, like I say, he wasn't coming to give me a cookie recipe,
mm-mm.
you know. So, and that's how it worked out.
All right, we got more with Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with former NFL player Steve Smith Sr. and Gerard Littlejohn. Now, with all the fights you got into a lot of fights on the field, off the field, around the field, under the field, over the field. Gerard, has anybody ever stepped to you and say, you know what? I might not be able to beat Steve, but I might be able to take you, Gerard.
Oh, no, ain't nobody stepping me like that now. Nah.
Not at all.
No. I mean, it ain't, you know, largely.
We straight.
Number one, we straight. But I mean, number two is, I think it's really easy to try to pencil somebody one way or another. And the thing about Steve, the thing about my brother is he's not what those kind of things have defined him as. So more than often, like, people know us from what we do in the community, how we give back, how we're able to, even right now, we got a virtual learning center for 100 homeless kids here in Charlotte to where now they can do their virtual learning and they don't fall behind the crack more than what they already are. So largely, like, when we out, I mean, people would just give us more love than anything because we're giving back. Our foundation is giving back over $1 million since we started. So largely, you know, it's more about what we do, and it's less about like who we are or those kind of things that can quote unquote define a person.
Absolutely.
Steve, you ever thought you had anger management issues? Because you did get into a lot of fights in the NFL, it seemed like.
No, but see, the thing is, bro, documented only got, I think, three fights. On the field, man, it's tussling. I mean, on the field, guys are getting into it, pushing and shoving all the time. I mean, that's the thing. People want to push that narrative, so let them push that narrative. But the thing is, I don't have no DUIs. I don't have all this other stuff that everybody says. So when I, like we said, when I'm walking around the neighborhood or walking around Charlotte, LA, man, I just keep to myself. I'm really just kind of calm. If anything, I'm actually documented, like with my counselor, I'm an extreme introvert. Like I sit at the house a lot. I'm good with this social distancing. I'm straight. I've been social distancing.
This dude in heaven.
It's some glasses and a face mask, man. I'm good.
So how you end up breaking you broke two noses, Steve.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. No, it was
true. Okay. you broke two noses and they were both your teammates. Like
fights happen all the time. And the way I was raised, you don't go for the body.
Damn it, Ben.
Got you.
Goodness gracious.
Are you cool with those people now? Did y'all get over that?
I mean, we got over it, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I made my mistakes. People harp on it. That's what they go. That's who I am. That's what's happened, but whatever.
Did you ever prove Bounty Gate against the Saints?
No, I don't need to prove Bounty Gate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, football is about taking another man's will, bottom line. It's not about it. That's what it's about. And that's how I grew up playing. My grandpa told me, he said, listen, if you want to play this game, you ain't the tallest, right? So if you want to play this game, you need to play this game the way I watched it. And when I watched it, Ronnie Lott, you know, Eric Turner, Steve Atwater, like you watching, when I was growing up watching those guys, they used to hit the snot out of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I played ball. When I caught the ball, try to stiff arm, hit the snot out of somebody, I try to block him. I did my best. So, I mean, football is a very aggressive sport. I'm from the inner city of LA. I grew up in an aggressive neighborhood. So it just went, it was right there. And, you know, I'm king of the midgets, so it's just right there.
Now, you think the league got soft? Well, it's way softer. Like the era where you just said, yeah, you knock a snot box, you don't hear that no more. Now you do that, you're getting penalty, you're getting 15 yards. You think the league is gotten really soft where it's not enjoyable as much?
No, I don't think it's getting really soft. I think there's some guys. I mean, you watch guys like Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald's hitting the snot out of folks, right? Mm-hmm. Dominic Sue, like there's some guys out there hitting folks. And look, just like in radio, man, there's some radio guys out there who do certain things a certain way, man. It's you know, you skin a cat so many different ways. So there's a lot of players out there that are super aggressive. There's a lot of players out there that are finesse. It just depends on, you know, how you like your oatmeal.
There you go.
You know, one of the most fascinating conversations I think y'all had on the podcast this fall was with Odessa Jenkins.
Yeah.
You know, the founder of the Women's National Football Conference. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know much about it at all, but I learned in that episode.
Right.
You think women's football could ever be as lucrative as the NFL?
I mean, as lucrative as the NFL? No, because the NFL didn't even know they were going to be as lucrative as they are, right? Mm-hmm. I was impressed with her because they already have so many teams, and I was just impressed where you got a mom who can cook dinner and then for a family of five and then go out there and crack back on somebody, right? Wow. That's impressive to me. And then, she, you know, talking about another person, she from LA, you could just kind of hear the banter and the back and forth. Just like folks from New York, and there's just, when you are from that town or that city and you have that thought process, you understand it. If you don't, you don't get it. That's why East and West is such a different place.
I think the thing about Odessa too is that she someone told her way back when she was younger, you can't do this. And so that dropped a seed in her to where she's like, all right, I'm going to find a way to bring this to fruition. And so her whole life story has not just been that she played sports. She actually played college basketball to get her a scholarship. But largely it's been she wants to have a place for women to where they can no longer be told, no, you can't do this. So could it be as lucrative? We don't know. But for her, just to be able to have that space for other girls, man, that's her passion. So it was, it, and it came out in that conversation. And that's what we always hope to do with this podcast.
Who y'all got on this week?
LaDainian Thompson.
Got you.
So it's pretty good.
All right.
Got you.
Well definitely listen, check it out. Cut to It Podcast. We appreciate you brothers for joining us this morning.
That's right. And go subscribe to the Cut to It Podcast, man, on Black Effect, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Steve and Gerard, appreciate y'all being my partners, man.
I appreciate you.
Y'all have a good one.
Peace. Right.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we want to pay your bills, $1,000 towards your expenses. Thanks to our partner, The General. Get a lot for a little at The General Insurance. For coverage you deserve at prices you can afford, visit TheGeneral.com today. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk L.A. Reid.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, L.A. Reid sold 100% of his publishing and writing catalog. And that's about 162 songs. It's for an undisclosed amount. Now, he sold that catalog to Hypnosis Songs and its investment advisor, The Family Music Limited. By the way, shout out to Nile Rodgers. He is on the board for that as well. And so he also will be joining the company's advisory board as well and will continue to run his label, Hitco Entertainment, that he co-founded in 2018. So some of the songs in his catalog include records from Boyz II Men, TLC, Toni Braxton, Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston, and more.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this, but why are these people selling all their publishing and writing to this company? I've seen that a lot.
But a lot of people are selling it to this company. I don't know.
Maybe it's good money that you can invest in. For him, he's also joining the board as well. So maybe he's going to also make money off of this as well.
But isn't the whole point to own your publishing and own, like, your...
I thought so, and pass it on to your kids. Well, maybe, I mean, maybe...
But it could be that you want the cash to... Maybe you want to get that cash and invest in something else.
Yeah, maybe as another investment that he wants to do that bring more money than what he had now. I don't know. Don't know.
Right. So he's done it, and I guess, you know, that has to be a lot of money. It's an undisclosed amount, but we don't know. All right, Adidas has collaborated with Bad Bunny on a pair of sneakers that's going to be releasing in the spring, summer 2021 lineup.
Yo, people love Spoiled Rabbit, don't they?
It's Bad Bunny.
Why are you calling him that?
So disrespectful.
Bad Bunny is Bad Bunny. Highly respected.
I don't respect him. I just don't know his name.
You don't respect him enough to get his name correct.
What's his name?
Shut up. You know his name. Bad Bunny.
Whoa.
Just like we know Kamala Harris's name and can say it right.
Wow.
Respect that man's name.
Now, y'all not going to compare a real name to goddamn Bad Bunny. Knock it off. Say anything.
I might have to draw the line there as well.
Exactly.
I appreciate you, though.
Went a little too far there, Ye.
Trying to stand up for Bad Bunny, all right? And Nicki Minaj.
I said Jay-Z.
Speaking of Adidas, and there's a lot of Adidas news randomly, but her son has a lifetime supply of baby Adidas Yeezys that Kanye sent, along with some congratulations for the baby. And Beyonce, Ivy Park has announced a new drop that's going to be coming. So get ready for that also. It's going to be coming, I guess, at the end of this month. So that's also with Adidas as well. And then the full Ivy Park lineup will be coming out November 19th. There's going to be a shoe drop on October 30th. All right, Gilly the Kid. His podcast got a little bit crazy. He got mad when WAC referred to Birdman as the top indie executive in the world. If you remember, Gilly was actually signed to Cash Money, and Wallo and WAC were making him even madder. Listen to this.
I don't give a f*** about no money. He's the only motherfucking top indie exec in the world. WAC, what they got to do with being real? Go f***. Hey, listen. My experience. Don't give me a name. Hold on. Hold on. Don't blame the label because you couldn't get hot.
Let me tell you something. First of all, drop on the clues bombs for WAC 100. Drop on the clues bombs for Wallo. Drop on the clues bombs for Gilly the King. Okay? Those are three of the most entertaining people you're going to ever hear have a conversation ever in your life.
That's funny. When somebody's mad and somebody keeps throwing fuel in the fire, that was that conversation.
The beauty of it, Wack just stayed calm the whole time. Wack just stayed calm the whole time, and Gilly just kept getting madder and madder. That was some good listening. I love the $1 million worth of game podcast. Salute to them brothers.
Man. All right, well, Blueface also revealed that he hasn't had an STD in a while.
How many times they burnt you? Real How many times you got burnt, man? You look like a cat that ain't...
Man, what?
You don't wear no rain jackets.
I didn't always have money, man. I feel me?
Wait. It's with money that still gets steeped up.
Nah, but you say...
How many times they bitch your ass up?
I don't run into the same variety of bitches now. Now I'm just, you know...
But how many times you got burnt?
All right, he threw me off. Let me think. Probably before 2000. Wait. I ain't been burnt since like 2000. Probably like 19.
Yeah.
That's
last year.
2019.
That was, oh my goodness.
Hold on, let me look at my watch. What year is it?
2020.
That was last year.
A couple months ago.
He said it was the beginning of 2019, though.
I thank God I've never had an STD ever in my life. I've never had gonorrhea, syphilis, nothing.
Never had a little, like a little rona, nothing? Like a little.
That's not
STD,
an STD.
Like a little, you know, crabby crab, nothing?
No.
Okay. Me neither. I'm just asking.
Can you get crabs in a fake beard?
I don't know, guys.
Yo, shut up, man.
can you get lice in a fake beard? I'm wondering. I'm asking for a friend that may be in the room.
I don't know. Don't talk about dramas like that. You just disrespect the bad bunny. So then, shut up.
Listen, serious question. Can life live in Beijing? How would things in Beijing would drown the lice?
You just rinse them out, like, you know? Right?
True. Yeah, you can just rinse it off
every
night.
I've never been to Beijing. I want to go one time. Mm.
And one more time, guys, I want to remind y'all to make sure that you vote. And you can go to Rock the Vote. You can text Levi's to 788-683. That's L-E-V-I-S to 788-683. That's how you get your key dates, your election reminders, and your voters' information. So find out if you can vote early, when that voting early starts, making sure that you're registered to vote. But please, we're trying to make sure that as many people as possible vote this fall.
Word.
November 3rd.
I just want the record to show that when I said I've never had an STD, I didn't hear nobody else in the room.
I said me too. What are you?
Oh, you did? Okay. Nick, you too?
I don't believe y'all.
Drum, you?
No.
What you had?
I said never. I never had this.
Shut up, man.
Yee, would you like to contribute anything to this conversation?
No, I have not had an STD.
Okay.
All right. I do get tested. I know you don't.
I don't have no reason to.
Ever.
No, I've been tested before. Quite a few times.
1999.
Hey, man. You didn't say
guys
what year.
Guys do that test. Guys do that test. They do that test where you got something. Okay. Well, me neither.
Earwax test. Earwax test.
Don't put that out there.
Put a little earwax on your finger.
Don't put that
and
in
if
there.
You stick it up there and she jumps, she got a little something. Sharp.
All right, guys.
Thank you for that room, Ajay. All right, Charlamagne.
You're welcome.
Who you want to give your donkey to, man?
Oh, man, 4 after the hour. Let's talk to a man who's practicing. I guess this is safe sex. It's not so safe for work, though. But Jeff Toobin from CNN, we need him to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What's up, it's Angela Yee, and I'm proud to be hosting Black Entrepreneurs Day. Join me for a celebration of Black businesses, including musical performances by Chance the Rapper and Questlove, and game-changer conversations presented by The General Insurance. It's all going down October 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Watch.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being donkey of the day is a little bit of a mixed blessing.
So like a donkey?
Yee-haw.
Okay.
Donkey of the day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but donkey of the day is a new one.
Yes. Donkey of the day for Tuesday, October 20th. Goes to CNN's chief legal analyst, Jeff Toobin. Jeff Toobin is also a renowned reporter for The New Yorker. Jeff Toobin is 60 years old, and he's been suspended by The New Yorker, and he's asked for some time off from CNN after doing this. Let's go to Fox News with Sean Hannity for the report, please.
An unsettling incident involving CNN's chief legal analyst now off the air for allegedly pleasuring himself on a Zoom video call. Jeffrey Toobin, who's also a staff writer for The New Yorker, was suspended by the magazine for masturbating during the call last week with other New Yorker employees and WNYC radio staff watching, according to Vice News, which reports the incident came during a drill for election coverage. Vice says when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, Tubin lowered the camera. The people on the call said they could see Tubin touching himself. Tubin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see. New Yorker magazine told Fox News Jeffrey Tubin has been suspended while we investigate the matter. And in a statement to Motherboard, Tubin said, quote, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom.
I blame Zoom calls, bro. Zoom calls are mentally and emotionally exhausting. Zoom calls are stressful as hell, and scratching Yoda behind the ears, tossing a little egg salad, lowers blood pressure in stressful situations. Now, I'm not making any excuses for Jeff Tubin. What he did was unprofessional and totally out of line. But one out of five Americans has an anger management problem. And Zoom calls make us all angry. Okay, I have to do things to mentally, emotionally prepare myself for Zoom calls. Now, personally, I would have seasoned my meatloaf before I got on the Zoom, but not on the Zoom. Okay, like I don't have a problem giving myself a helping hand. Okay, you have to discover your own potential at times, but not on a business Zoom call. Okay, I don't think any of us, male or female, can dispute the relaxing effects of turning on the sprinklers. Okay, sometimes you got to find those clues with Fred and Daphne and make Scooby do what it do. Okay, listen to me. Masturbation fights depression. All right, back-to-back Zoom calls are depressing. Sometimes you got to box the one-eyed champ to release that dopamine, to have the energy and strength to make it through a Zoom call. But Jeff, not like this. Okay, you can't have a menage a moi on the Zoom. All right, Jeff, I have no problem with you making Pearl Jam, but it's a time and a place for everything, okay? And the Zoom on a business call is not the place. And why does your name, your last name, why does your last name sound like a euphemism for masturbation? Tubin? Tubin sounds like something you would use to describe shaking hands with the milkman on the Zoom. And I'm sure during this pandemic, when people had to socially distance from their cut buddies, all those summer flings that didn't happen, you were away from your side chicks, I'm sure they were replaced with people playing 5-on-1 for some warm custard. But what do you call that? Okay, what do you call masturbation on the Zoom? The answer is Jeff's last name, Tubin. Okay, masturbating on Zoom calls should absolutely be called Tubin from here on out. All right, Tubin your meat on Zoom. Okay, Tubin the purple-headed yogurt slinger on Zoom. Okay, Tubin the mayonnaise river on Zoom. Tubin the hand puppet on Zoom. Listen, a lot of y'all judging Jeff for Tubin on Zoom, but you too have met the goop man at midnight on Zoom. All right, just not during a business call. All right, now back in November of 2019, Jeff Tubin was reacting to a New York Times report that Trump was briefed on the whistleblower complaint before releasing military aid to Ukraine. And Jeff's reaction to Trump is our reaction currently to him now.
He got caught.
Simple. Yes, he did get caught. Tubin for tartar sauce on Zoom. Please give Jeff Tubin the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day. Of the day,
now let the record show, Angela Yee, because you're not in studio. Somebody in this room, all right? Mind you, it's 5 men in here. Somebody in this room earlier.
That's like a party for you.
Earlier said, what's wrong with that? When I was discussing this story.
Whoa.
When I was just throwing it
Who
around
said
the
that?
Room. I'm not.
That person didn't
Which
say,
person?
What's wrong with that?
What did he say?
He says the suspension might be a little too far. Now, let me explain
I
why.
I hear that part.
Let me explain why.
All I so heard was explaining. What's wrong with that?
Because he
you're
did.
You're explaining
he,
for this person?
I'm just saying, because how do we know it wasn't on accident? He took a break from his Zoom call. He didn't know the camera was on. It's not like he was stroking his one-eyed monster live for people on Zoom saying, watch this, watch this, watch this. He might have paused it, or he might have thought he was off for a second because he probably closed his laptop a little bit and said, hey, let me handle the one-eyed monster, then I get back
There's
to this meeting.
There's absolutely no reason to be tubing for tartar sauce on his business Zoom call. Mm.
We also don't know if he did it on purpose or by accident.
How do you not
only
masturbate
he knows that.
On purpose?
Only he knows that.
How do
for
you,
people to see.
First of all, what do you mean? When you say not on purpose, you mean masturbating?
No, I mean, for people to see. He might have done that. You know, some people are exhibitionists. Some people get turned on by people watching them.
But let's say it was an accident. Let's say he really just thought he was, you know, pushing the camera away from his junk and wanted to get a little one-eyed monster going before the next Zoom call.
Can you stop saying one-eyed monster?
Listen, what do you want me to call it?
He was buffing the vampire slayer, bro.
You can't.
Okay, it's a penis. You can say penis.
I can't say buffing the vampire?
Penis sounds way better.
But you can't stroke.
Sounds way better.
You can stroke the one I mentioned.
He was shuffling his iPod. Our producer just came in here to wrap up. The moral of the story is this, though. I think that this has been a common occurrence during the pandemic. I think it's a lot more people who have been, you know, scrambling.
Zoom accidents?
Yeah, scrambling their Cyclops on Zoom. We're going to call it tubing from now on. I think it's a lot of tubing going on.
So what's the craziest thing you've seen on Zoom? That's the question.
I don't even want to know. I want to know if people have tubed on Zoom. Have you done a little tubing on Zoom? You're away from your significant other. You're away from your cut buddy. But just want to know.
That's what FaceTime is for. I don't know if you need a Zoom for that.
Or have you seen somebody do it on Zoom? Maybe you were one of the people in the Zoom meeting and you seen somebody stroking their one-eyed monster.
Envy, you're making much ago about nothing.
Right. Much ago about nothing.
All right, relax. Okay.
I just don't want to see this one-eyed monster coming at me now. I just hate the way you keep saying that. It just sounds awful.
Why would his one-eyed monster be coming at you? He's married.
Not his, just a one-eyed monster. I don't want to look at my boyfriend and think it's a monster.
That's Charlamagne, how he deals with it. But anyway, 800-585-1051.
He doesn't see it because it comes from behind.
Oh, you guys are kinky this
wrap
morning.
Up, man. Yeah, right. Wrap up. My brown eye can see.
Strap up.
You guys are crazy. 800-585-1051. Have you ever masturbated on Zoom? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, if you just joined us, Charlamagne gave Donkey the Day to who?
Jeffrey Toobin. Jeffrey Toobin is CNN's legal analyst, and he's a renowned reporter for The New Yorker. And he got caught tubing for tartar sauce on the Zoom. And the reason I'm saying tubing is because I think tubing should be the new slang for masturbating on Zoom. Because I think that during this pandemic, we haven't thought about the people who may have been away from their significant others, may have been away from their cut buddies, may have been away from their side chicks that they were socially distancing. I think it's a lot more masturbation happening on Zoom than we think. I think we only think about Zoom for business calls and, you know, what are we doing? The birthday announcements and all of that type of stuff like that. But I really think people have been tubing on Zoom, bro. And by tubing, I mean masturbating.
Yeah, but what's on Zoom that's so sexy that makes you have to masturbate right then and there? I mean, unless
you're... The person you're talking to, Envy. Huh?
You know they have Zoom orgy rooms.
They have what?
They have Zoom orgy rooms, but Zoom did have to try to ban it, but they have a sex club. They've been hosting Zoom orgies with like 100 people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You shaking your head. You've been there before.
No, not that. I saw a porno, like a Zoom orgy thing that happened, you know, when I'm porno.
So you've been watching Zoom porno orgy?
No, I was just curious. Like, when this whole thing started, I saw, like, a Zoom orgy. I was like,
it's okay, Dramas, it's okay.
We're not judging you, Dramas.
Black room, white room, or Spanish room? Which one?
It was a nice mix. It was actually a very diverse room. I think that it was nice to see.
Okay. You know? So what did you Google? Diverse orgy Zoom room?
No, it just popped up. It was on the front page, and I was like, yeah, okay. You know.
Did you trying to be progressive on Pornhub.
I didn't know.
How long did you stay?
I skipped around the video to see what the high points were.
Dramos is the head of
Pornhub.
Dramos is the head of diversity inclusion for orgy.
But listen, I think this happens more than people care to discuss. But that's what we're here for.
We got people on the line. 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Abby from Stamford, Connecticut.
Abby, have you done any tubing on Zoom, Abby?
Yeah, when's the last time you masturbated on Zoom?
We call it tubing, Envy.
I might have to start using the word tubing because I am guilty as F. I just started a remote job online last week, and even just yesterday, basically, so I'm in the background on a phone call, like this guy's training me on how to do sales on the phone, and he'll be on like a 20-minute call, and I'm just in the background muted, so I get a little bored, and I have my knees, and I take my 5 minutes, and I mean, I'm still muted the whole time, so I just occupy my time wisely, you know.
I'm not mad at you at all, because those Zoom calls are stressful and you got to relieve a little stress.
Yeah, it's a different twist on training.
So does the guy turn you on, or you just need to let one off?
Oh hell no, ew, this guy turned me off.
How dare you?
Bro, so you were just tubing. You were just tubing. That's all.
No, like sometimes the call will just be so boring, and then I'll like take my phone to the side and just like start watching porn. I'm like, this is so boring. Like, what? I need something else.
I'm not mad at you. You sound like Wheezy from Horrible Decisions.
Thank you.
800-585-1051. She sound like Wheezy?
No, we're asking, have you ever masturbated during a Zoom call?
It's called tubing.
All right, well,
we're changing the name. We're paying homage to Jeff Toobin, the CNN legal analyst. From now on, if you masturbate on a Zoom call, it's called tubing.
All right. Well, call us up now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're asking, have you ever played with the one-eye monster during a Zoom call? Have you ever masturbated?
Oh, gosh.
We're calling it tubing, though, because Jeffrey Toobin of CNN got caught masturbating on Zoom. And his last name definitely sounds like a euphemism for masturbation.
Hello, who's this?
Just for the record, I have not done that.
Hello?
Yeah.
What's up? What's your name,
bro?
My name's Eve from Columbus.
I'm not going to ask you the question.
If he can figure out Zoom, he'll definitely dial that rotary phone.
Have you ever masturbated on Zoom, bro?
So, and then Evie did ask.
Nah.
You're a liar.
Nah, my viewpoint on it is more or less, you masturbate on Zoom, you're masturbating in the bathroom at work. It's pretty much equivalent.
Okay. That's so funny that you said that. Because someone in the studio, someone in the studio said they do that.
If it's an accident, then it's a problem.
First of all, y'all got to stop talking about this accidental masturbation. There's no such thing. We have to stop. This is the second or third time I've heard it.
Is it mean the camera that accidentally showed you? Not accidentally, like I did it by accident. Oh, my hand is on my one-eyed monster. Oh, my gosh, what am I doing? Oh, my bad, mistake. No, not that way.
Envy said he masturbated in the bathroom at work.
No, I did not.
I thought you
that
said that.
No,
I never said that.
You said something about like masturbating at work, and then somebody in drama goes, that's like masturbating on the plane.
No, he said it's illegal, and I said it's not illegal to masturbate on
a
plane.
You were making a case that it should be okay to masturbate at work, and I said that's probably illegal.
It's only illegal to masturbate on a plane if you use somebody else's hands.
Also, for the record, Evie's been...
No, you can't publicly... FYI, you cannot publicly masturbate anywhere.
If you're in a bathroom on a plane.
No, what are you...
Go to the phones and stop talking about auditioning finger puppets.
Thank you, sir.
Emmy's been dipping to go move his car every day, for the record. Just throw that out there. I don't know if that's a new slang for a tuber, but all of a sudden he has to move his car every day. Right. I don't know.
I'm in the wrong spot.
What's the moral of the story?
There's no moral to the story. The moral of the story is don't masturbate on Zoom during business calls. But I still don't think there's nothing wrong with masturbating on Zoom with your significant other, though. Don't make faces because you do snap yourself FaceTime, on FaceTime. You're a liar. Why do y'all lie so much? You do nasty stuff on FaceTime, so you would do nasty stuff
on
Zoom.
He's talking to Taylor, not me, by the way. He's not playing with me right now. He's talking to Taylor.
I just feel like you wouldn't go on Zoom to masturbate. You would just do FaceTime.
No, that's not true.
How do you know? You live with your wife. He says that's not true.
I'm saying that's not true because, as Angela Yee said earlier, people are using Zoom for orgies. As Drom said, they got Zoom pornos. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure people have... I'm sure people... Huh? I don't get it.
Anyway.
Taylor just yelled out for single people. I don't know what that means.
Oh, because you said with your significant other. She's saying if you don't have
I'm
a significant
if you,
other.
If you're away from somebody, you getting kinky with somebody, you can do it over Zoom. And we're going to call that tubing from now on.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, you got rumors on the way?
Yeah, we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about Red Table Talk. And Jada Pinkett Smith's mom says that she had non-consensual sex with her father.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Well, before we do that, you want to pay your bills, win $1,000 towards your expense. Thanks to our partners, The General. Get a lot for a little at The General Insurance. For coverage you deserve at prices you can afford, visit TheGeneral.com today. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk to Raji.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, Taraji was on The Breakfast Club. And of course, she was talking about her foundation and mental health. But the one takeaway that a lot of people got from it is that she is now single. She's no longer engaged. Listen to what she had to say.
And I'm dedicated to the black man, y'all. I just turned 50 and I haven't said it yet, but it didn't work out. You know what I mean? And I tried. I was like, therapy, let's do the therapy thing. But if you're both not on the same page with that, then you feel like you're taking it on yourself. And that's not a fair position for anybody to play in a relationship. My happiness is not his responsibility, and his happiness is not mine. We have to first learn how to make ourselves happy.
Yeah, first of all, that conversation filled my spirit, man. Salute to Taraji P. Henson and, you know, Tracy and Jay for pulling up their mental health warriors. And I know people took that part of the convo, but you really need to go listen to what they had to say about trauma bonding and being trauma buddies. You know, we have to heal together and share love, not trauma.
Right. So people did take that. I mean, there was a lot of speculation because she did have an amazing 50th birthday celebration, some great pictures. And they were like, where's her fiance? So I guess that was the first time that she said that it's not happening anymore. But right. I'm sure she's going to be good regardless. All right. Now let's talk about.
By the way, I had young boys hitting my line yesterday.
Trying to holler at her?
Literally like, yo, Taraji single now? Like young boys. Like, really? Am I too young for Taraji? I'm like, I don't know.
All right, now let's talk about Netflix and the third season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman. So there's a series of interviews that's going to be happening. Kim Kardashian, Robert Downey Jr., Lizzo, Dave Chappelle. Now, they already have put out a clip of Dave Chappelle, and here is what they talked about, the Black Lives Matter movement.
Being somebody that people would look to for, like, moral or intellectual guidance. It required me to live a completely different way. There's no pension plan for leaders. Martin Luther King died penniless. Malcolm X died penniless. I don't want to do that.
But that's your view. I'm waiting for you to say something. So what does that make me, a follower?
Okay, well, I said it behind what many others were already doing. And the commentary after it was very heady and intellectual. And I was shocked that nobody ever talked about what it feels like to watch a man get murdered that way by a man in a police uniform.
Dave's absolutely right. I mean, that's why you got to celebrate the Tamika Mallorys of the world and the Linda Sarsours and the Maisons, all those activists who put their lives on the line every day and fight for us, because it is a thankless job that they're not getting paid for.
And literally put their lives on the line. When I'm talking about death threats, not letting people know where you're staying, how you're traveling, because people literally want to kill you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and to answer David Letterman's question about what does that make him for waiting to see what Dave Chappelle has to say, Dave, it makes you a comedian who loves listening to another comedian who happens to be one of the greatest comedians of all time. I like hearing what Dave Chappelle got to say, too.
Well, season 3 will be out tomorrow on Netflix exclusively. All right, Kendrick Lamar, you know, he's been relatively quiet, and he recently did an interview for ID Magazine where he's actually interviewing his cousin, Baby Keem. And they talk about the road it took for Baby Keem to get his career started and how he got Kendrick Lamar's respect, how it was a bumpy road, and how Kendrick was saying that, you know, at first Baby Keem was missing all types of days from school. They were getting letters sent to the house. And he said, I felt some type of accountability. You were talented, but you had to graduate. So it was finding that middle ground. But that worked out. He said, I think that's one thing that me and Dave Free really respect about you. You're determined and driven. You remind me of how we used to be. So Baby Keem is signed to Kendrick and Dave Free's company. And so that's how his album will be coming out. Now, Kendrick also talked about how he'll never make a Good Kid, Mad City Part 2 and how he plans to have a new sound. He said, I can't do the same thing over and over. I need something to get me excited. He said he felt pressured to execute his sophomore album. Well, and he said, I remember the sophomore jinx of Good Kid, Mad City. It was for that year and for that time, I was in a different space in my life. I already knew off the top, I can't make Good Kid, Mad City Part 2. The second I'm making that, it's corny. That takes the feeling away from the first. I need that MF to live in its own world. Then boom, To Pimp a Butterfly. Some people love it to death. Some people hate it.
It's my favorite Kendrick Lamar album, To Pimp a Butterfly. I love To Pimp a Butterfly.
And I can't wait
They are two totally different projects, too.
They are. I
feel like you can't even compare them, you
I don't
know?
Think you can
if
as you, well.
If you listen to Kendrick, the Pimp a Butterfly now, it actually fits the climate we're in now.
It does.
Maybe more than it did back then, but I can't wait to hear Kendrick's new music. And I think Baby Keem is dope as hell. Lil Dicky put me on to Baby Keem. And I remember the first time I heard Baby Keem, I said, he sounds like if Kendrick did trap music. And then folks told me that was Kendrick's cousin, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I'm absolutely anticipating new music from K-Dot. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear how he's been the last few years.
Jada Pinkett Smith's mother, Adrienne Banfield Norris, talks about gray areas of intimacy in her own life. Now, they were talking about sexual intimacy and having non-consensual sex, and here's what happened.
So, Gam, you feel like nowhere in your history in regards to sexual intimacy have you felt like you've had a sexual experience that was not necessarily consensual or was, you know, kind of in that gray area?
I have.
Okay.
But it was also with my husband.
Okay.
Your dad, actually. So that's really gray.
You do hear that a lot. So you're basically saying you had non-consensual sex with my father.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I need the context of that conversation. What was the topic of discussion on Red Table Talk?
They were talking about gray areas and spousal rape. You know, it's a very gray area socially and legally. They said most states now have laws against it, but they do treat it differently than other rape cases. And, you know, Donald Trump was accused of spousal rape by his first wife, Ivana Trump, during their divorce proceedings. And when that accusation came out during his first presidential campaign, again, it resurfaced. That's when Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, said, by the very definition, you can't rape your spouse. And that was a really controversial remark. Because if somebody tells you no, whether or not you're married, that does not mean just you're anybody's property and you can just take anything.
Absolutely.
I did not know that about Donald Trump, and I am amazed how everything comes back to Donald Trump. How does everything come back to Donald Trump?
All right.
Well, I think that was a big deal when it happened for his then lawyer to say that you can't rape your spouse. That's the most ridiculous thing. There's people that are married that are not getting along, that don't even like each other, you know? And just because that's my spouse doesn't mean that I'm obligated to have sex with you.
All right.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. And today is Snoop's birthday, so let's start the mix off with some Snoop. Know,
today is Senator Kamala Harris's born day, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she don't got no records.
I saw her
She don't got no records.
All right, but anyway, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Let's go.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Tuesday, October 27th at 9, 8 Central on BET. Comic Trio 85 South hosts the 2020 BET Hip Hop Awards with 2 Chainz, Big Sean, Burna Boy, Gucci Mane, Jhené Aiko, Lil Baby, City Girls, and Toby Nwigwe. Plus, music mogul Master P gets the I Am Hip Hop Award. For more information, search hashtag Hip Hop Awards. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, we got a shout-out to Steve Smith Sr., former NFL player, for joining us this morning.
That's right. Make sure y'all go subscribe to the Cut To It podcast on Black Effect, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, that is available. They have LaDainian Tomlinson on this week's episode. So go check it out. One of the top 200 podcasts in the sports category right now.
That's Gerard Littlejohn and Steve Smith Sr.
That's right.
All right. Now, when we come back, we got the positive note, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You guys have a great day today. Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. The positive note is simply this. Sometimes your blessings are blocked by your disobedience to evolve.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.